drawing a crowd here, Mr. Sterling.
No, it's your growth that's drawing a crowd. Why don't we get started? Good morning. I'm Brian Sterling from Sandler O'Neill, and on behalf of the firm and the other joint book runners, Evercore and Keith Boyette and Woods, we're pleased to welcome you this morning to this presentation by the senior management team of Independent Bank Group. They're here today to talk about their initial public offering. They'll be offering 3.2 million shares. 100% of that offering is primary. There is a 15% overallotment option. Proceeds will be used to retire debt and for growth of the company. They do anticipate paying a dividend as we go forward here coming out of the box. With us today, we have three members of the senior management team: David Brooks, who is the chairman and CEO, Tory Burnston, who is the president and COO, and Michelle Hickox, who is the chief financial officer. As we are recording this presentation for Net Roadshow, I'd ask you to all hold your questions until the end of the presentation. When you do have a question, press star 2 when we get to that point. So with that introduction, let me hand it over to David Brooks.
Thank you, Brian. Glad to be here this morning. Appreciate the opportunity to share with you about our company, Independent Bank Group. As Brian said, I'm David Brooks, Chairman, CEO of the company. 25 years ago, my partner Vincent Viola and I acquired a small bank north of Dallas. That was the foundation of what is today known as Independent Bank Group. We've grown to 31 locations, $1.75 billion in assets. I'll give you bits and pieces of the story today, but I'd like to first ask my colleagues to introduce themselves and tell you about their backgrounds. Tory?
Thanks, David. And good morning, everybody. By way of background, I spent 25 years at the Bank of New York Mellon in various senior capacities. I served on the executive, asset liability, and various credit committees. I have an extensive lending background, and at one point in my career, ran the bank's capital markets business. For the last 4 years, I've been part of Mr. Viola's holding company, with Independent being one of my portfolio companies. I've worked very closely over that period of time with David on both strategic and growth initiatives, and have really acted as the lead director on both the bank and holding company boards. Michelle?
Thank you, Tory. Good morning. Hi, I'm Michelle Hickox. I joined the bank last May in 2012 as a chief financial officer. Prior to that, I was an audit partner at McGladrey. I spent my career in public accounting working primarily with large community banks, and I was a designated financial institution specialist there in the Dallas office.
Thanks, Michelle and Tory. I want to talk to you today about a few key things that I hope you'll take away with you as you think about being our partner for the future. First, we've got an experienced management team and board of directors. We've got a long track record in Texas community banking. Additionally to that, we've got significant inside ownership in the company. We're a leading Texas community bank franchise focused in metropolitan markets. We've been a proven growth company, both through organic growth and strategic targeted acquisitions. Our profitability is expanding as our balance sheet expands, and the capital that we seek in this offering is really just to continue our strategy of growing our company in Texas, primarily in the metropolitan markets. Underlying all this is a strong credit culture that we've developed over the past 25 years. Mr. Burnson is going to talk to you about that in more detail, but we tell our folks all the time that, look, our critical issue at hand is keep our asset quality strong so that we can continue to grow and do business the way we like to do it. If you'll go with me to slide 5, there you'll see more details about our management group. Three of us are here today, as you know, and the other three, our chief risk officer, chief lending officer, and our head of branch operations and treasury management, Ms. Webb, are all back in Texas running the show while we're out running around the country. Slide 6 speaks to something I think that makes us unique, and that is that we've got significant inside ownership. Mr. Viola, myself, our senior executives, and our board of directors own approximately 85% of the company. We've put in the capital as we've grown this thing from $50 million to start to $1.75 billion where we are today. As Brian pointed out, there's no secondary selling here. not only that, not only in addition to owning the 85%, we are investing into this offering. The vast majority of the directed stock, the friends and family, is being acquired by Mr. Viola, myself, our senior executives, and our board. In fact, we've got about 17 of our leading officers and producers who own stocks in significant amounts in the bank. I say that simply to say our interests are aligned with our new partners, I think about as strongly as any company you'll see. Slide 7, one of my executives said the other day, looks like a demographer's slide, so I will be careful not to turn this into a lesson in demography, but simply to show you how we view the state. If you look at North Dallas, Dallas-Fort Worth area, you'll see we've got a strong branch footprint there. 8 years ago, which is kind of when we really view the start of our modern era of our company, we expanded to Austin and Central Texas, Waco. And then if you look further south, to the southwest there, you'll see San Antonio, and then to the east, of course, Houston. It's that triangle, if you will, from Dallas-Fort Worth, San Antonio to Houston, where approximately 80% of the residents and almost 100% of the growth in Texas is occurring inside that triangle. You can see we cover two of the four major metropolitan markets, and we aspire to be in Houston and San Antonio as well. I'll draw your attention possibly to one number on the chart there, three from the bottom, our return on average equity. In a time when I think a lot of analysts and a lot of folks believe this is a single-digit return industry, we've consistently returned double-digit returns, 11.5% last year. We'll show you a slide in a moment that has the last 4 years on it, but consistently we've been in that range. Slide 8 talks about Texas. We are exclusively located in Texas. That's important because Texas is a business-friendly state, low regulatory burdens, low taxes, no individual income tax in Texas. We are the second largest state, growing rapidly. You can see from the bullet points there that Texas has outperformed the rest of the nation in household income and unemployment numbers through the downturn. But this, again, to give some color to the environment in which we operate, takes us over to slide 9. Where you can see that inside a good state, we have the opportunity to grow a good banking organization. We compare ourselves here to the national numbers as well as the statewide numbers, and then our numbers in the red. You'll see that we have dramatically outperformed our competition in terms of growth, again, organically and through strategic acquisitions. Bottom left-hand side, this will speak to, again, what Tory will cover later in more detail, but our asset quality, you can see it's been really stellar through the downturn, and we finished the year last year at less than 1% non-performing loans, about a third of what our Texas competitors are, and about a fourth of what the nation is running. And then, again, a number we really focus on, return on equity, there in the bottom right-hand slide shows that we've been between 10.5% and 13% during the downturn. We were running in fourth quarter of 12 at a 14% return on equity. We believe that we can sustain those kinds of numbers going forward with our growth strategy. Page 10, I'd like to share with you kind of how we look at our company. We were founded in North Texas in Collin County. We have 10 locations in Collin County. They're north of Dallas, headquartered in McKinney, which is the county seat. Collin County is widely regarded as one of the three fastest growing, wealthiest counties in the state of Texas, which consistently puts us in the top 10 nationally. So it's a good place to be and a good place to have a footprint. We've expanded west and down into Dallas as well over time. And so we look at our north region as where we started. And then 8 years ago, we were $270 million in assets in seven locations. From there, the last 8 years, we've grown to 31 locations and $1.75 billion. That really started when we moved to Austin and Central Texas region on slide 11. Williamson County, which is where we started down there, Round Rock and Georgetown, you'll probably recognize Round Rock as the headquarters for Dell. A lot of technology, a lot of research in the Austin, Williamson County area. Williamson County also regarded as one of the three fastest growing counties and most educated counties in the state, where we have a strong footprint. So that's how we look at the two metropolitan regions we're in. Slide 12. Talks about some awards and honors as we've gotten recognition the last few years for being a great place to work, for being a fast-growing company, a large privately held company. Our Trade Association, Independent Bankers Association of Texas, routinely, annually awards us a number of awards around our ability to communicate and market within our communities and to serve those communities well. The point of this slide is purely to say, I believe we've developed over the last 25 years a culture of excellence, and everything that we do, from making it a great place to work, to growth, to superior returns on equity. Slide 13 talks about, again, I think an important differentiator for Independent Bank. We're a demonstrated growth company. There are other growth companies in Texas. They tend to either be organic growth companies or acquisition strategies. We believe we've got both of those to offer. Our CAGR for asset growth and loan growth running around 24% the last 3 years. Importantly, organic CAGR at around 15 to 16%. If you notice, though, the bars turn up pretty dramatically the last couple years, and our organic growth CAGR the last 2 years is running just under 20% at 19.4. So we've been able to grow the last 2 years our balance sheet and our loans at numbers approaching 20%. Page 14 talks about our ability to acquire. Here you see our last four deals we've done the last couple years. This makes us the second largest acquirer in terms of number of deals in Texas the last 3 years, behind Prosperity Bank. You'll see in 2010 we did a couple of distressed bank deals. In 2012 we did a couple of very healthy bank deals. We're a preferred acquirer in Texas. I think that's important as you think about investing with us for the long haul. We're a proven preferred acquirer for a couple of reasons. One is we've got a 25-year track record of performance, of growth, of profitability, ability to keep our asset quality clean. So people look back at our track record during the downturns and see that we've been a strong performer during those times. In addition to that, we've got a great reputation with the regulators in Texas. That's beneficial to us in merger and acquisition transactions because we have certainty of close. And so people who are either in a distress situation or in a clean bank situation, want to know that when they sign up that the deal's going to close. They don't want to be exposed in their marketplace and have the deal fall apart. The other thing that's important in Texas, and I'm not sure how this plays around the country as much, but people in Texas, the boards, the owners, the management groups, want to know that whoever they're handing their bank off to is going to do a good job in the community. They don't want to have to hang their head, 6 months from now, when they walk in the country club about how the bank that they sold to is mistreating the community. And so we've got a great reputation in that as well. We've done all this, by the way, without a currency. It's one of the things we hope to accomplish with this transaction, is to create not only some additional capital we can use, but a currency we can use to continue to grow the company in this way. We've been a very disciplined acquirer, so I hope you leave this page knowing that our interests are completely aligned with our new partner's interests. We will be a disciplined acquirer in the future. I'll wrap up my first portion here with slide 15. We talked about the Texas Triangle. We really aspire to grow into Houston. Houston is widely regarded as the number one market in Texas today. We aspire to be there and believe we will be able to get there. San Antonio, going to Fort Worth, expanding our footprint in Dallas and Austin are all important things for us. One of the things we've been able to do the last 3 years uniquely to us is hire senior teams of bankers from our major competitors. So we hired a big C&I team a couple years ago from Bank of Texas, which is the Bank of Oklahoma subsidiary. We hired this past year, as we started our kind of downtown, uptown Dallas presence and strategy, we hired a number of teams out of Texas Capital, both on the real estate side and the energy side. we're looking to grow our C&I portfolio, as Mr. Burnson will talk about in a moment. Again, focusing on energy and those kinds of things. My point out of this slide would be, we know who we are. We're a community regional bank in Texas. This capital and this offering won't change that. We don't aspire to out Citicorp in making a million car loans a week. That's not what we do. We'll continue to do the things we do well. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Michelle, ask her to talk about our numbers a little bit.
Okay, thanks, David. If you'll look at slide 16, I think this really demonstrates our increase in profitability over the last 3 years. As you can see, Our compound annual growth rate in core earnings over the three-year period is 26%, and that's increased to 36.7% over the last 2 years. Our earnings are primarily driven by our net interest margin, which has remained strong. You can see it's contracted slightly, but it's been fairly stable over the last 2 years. And like all banks right now, we do have concerns about pressures on our margin, but we think we have some mitigating factors to alleviate that concern. Immediately, when we get the proceeds, we're going to pay off some debt that's fairly expensive, so we'll get immediate benefit from the payoff of that debt. We also have some opportunity on our deposit costs that I'll talk about in just a minute. In addition to that, our core efficiency ratio has dropped over the last 2 years. We've made specific strategic decisions to close some smaller branches, and we're focusing on increasing our branch size in our footprint. And then we've made an intentional progress in building our infrastructure, so we believe that we can grow our assets significantly without adding significant non-interest expense to our bottom line. Slide 17, as I said, we do think we have some opportunity on our deposit cost side. As you can see, our cost of deposits has gone down over the last 3 years, but it is still higher than most of our peers. Our focus on C&I relationships is going to continue to increase our percentage of non-interest-bearing deposits in relation to our total deposits. We have a significant public funds portfolio, and a significant amount of those are repricing currently, and so we're going to see some benefit from those. iBank, one of the transactions that we did in 2012, they had some deposits that were above market price, and so we're repricing those, and we're getting some benefit from those as well. Page 18 is our capital table. As you can see from our current capital ratios as of year end, we are well capitalized for regulatory purposes, but have historically had less capital in relation to our peers. Primarily, we've been able to do that because of our relationship with our regulators and our good asset quality. So we've done a good job of deploying the capital that we have. We think the proceeds from this offering are going to be able to allow us to continue our significant organic growth as well as do some strategic acquisitions. We've evaluated the Basel III requirements. We know they're out there. We know they're coming at some point, but even giving that and most likely additional capital that we'll be required to hold, we still think this capital is going to give us the ability to continue our strategy. I'm going to turn it over to Tory. He's going to talk about credit culture.
Thanks, Michelle. Since joining almost 4 years ago, and with an extensive lending background, I've been extremely impressed with the credit culture. It's something I'm constantly talking about and telling people when I run into them and speak about Independent Bank. Our chief risk officer and chief lending officer are as good as people that I've seen. They do all the right things from every aspect of lending, which starts with lending to people that we know. Basic rule of successful credit. And that's the first thing we always preach. We have experienced relationship managers, whether they've been with David and the team for 10, 15, 20 years. Equally, when we go out and bring in new teams, we spend a lot of time to make sure that they're the right fit, they understand our credit model, they understand the discipline that we have, and that was a perfect example when we hired the energy team recently. We have a multi-tiered credit approval process. With that, I'll tell you that anything $3 million or above goes to the top of the house, but we're also very nimble in terms of approving credits. We can turn things around very quickly. That gives us a real competitive edge within our community, especially when you're dealing with banks that maybe have to go back to North Carolina, San Francisco, et cetera, for their approvals. We're Texas-focused. 95% of our borrowers and collateral are based in Texas. We lend to places that we know. We kick the tires, so to speak, so we're very familiar with our markets. Deep knowledge of the sectors and the industries, whether it's real estate, healthcare, energy, we know what we were doing from that perspective. Strong metrics, and I'll cover that in a little bit, but what I will tell you, it's a granular portfolio. The legal lending limit is a little over $30 million. Our in-house sort of guideline is not to do anything above $15 million. We probably have 10 relationships that are in that area. The average size of our loans is $265,000, with maturities being in the 4 to 5 year range. If you move to page 20, We've tried to show you some graphs here of the loan portfolio, and you see ours is a typical breakdown of a community bank. Should note that 55% of our real estate is owner-occupied. I could also make the case, though, that some of this should be C&I related. As we lend to a lot of medical practices in our healthcare, the first source of repayment there is cash flow. Second source is the real estate and the infrastructure. So again, you could look at that as being from a C&I perspective. We continue to grow the C&I portfolio. Right now, it's about 12% of the portfolio. We love the fact that it brings in demand deposits. We think that's going to have a major impact on keeping our margins strong going forward. Ideally, we think that portfolio is probably going to be 15 to 20% of the size in the next few years. Our yield on loans for 2012 was 5.89. I will say the yield on the portfolio continues to track towards historical levels, which again, we find that very positive from a margin perspective. Moving on to page 21. This is a page that we're very proud of, and we just love this page. Our metrics are stellar based on both a national and a Texas level. What I can point out here is we really weathered the economic downturn very well. And again, as we all know, is probably one of the worst downturns in the history of this country. Not only the downturn did we weather, we doubled the size of the institution in that period of time, which is we view as being very impressive in doubling the size of the institution and maintaining our credit quality. We were able to lend during the downturn, which attracted immense loyalty from our customers. That's loyalty that will continue for many years to come, and I firmly believe we'll get a last look from all our clients on future borrowings that they have. Also, you can make the argument that during the economic downturn, those are some of the strongest loans that you'll put on the books, both in terms of pricing as well as structure. If you look at our non-performing loans to loans at the end of 2012, 0.81%, I can say that those numbers continue to be very strong as we proceed into 2013, and our trends are very positive. With that, I'll turn it back to David.
Thank you, Tory. Michelle, slide 22, I'll take just a moment to talk to you about an investment we made a couple of years ago. There's a project in West McKinney, where we're headquartered, in the wealthiest, fastest growing part of our community. It's a commercial mixed-use residential development called Adriatica. Adriatica is a quite impressive development, and so much so that we chose to build our primary West McKinney growth location there in the development. A number of our medical customers moved into a medical center as a part of that development. We financed virtually every new facility in there for our doctors. The project's gotten a lot of attention in our community as quite a unique project. That project, after 5 years of really doing well, hit the wall when the developer and his out-of-state lender got crossways in 2010. We watched the development languish for a couple of years, became concerned that the out-of-state bank was going to break up the development in such a way that wouldn't be beneficial for the property owners and the community. We stepped in and bought those notes at a deep discount in June of 2011 with the express intent of holding them and liquidating in an orderly fashion to make sure the development finished out at the quality that was promised to the community. You'll see here on these numbers, we've made good progress at that. We started at $17 million. We're down under $10 million at the end of the year. We expect to dispose of the remaining property by the end of 2014. We're well on track for that. The carrying costs have been offset by the gains we've had on the sales we've made, so it hasn't been a drag on our operations. Don't expect it to be over the next 2 years. We, in fact, expect to have a gain on the sale of the remaining assets. A couple of key points I wanted to make about this. One is this was a one-off situation, an opportunity we felt like we needed to do something with, but we're not in the distressed asset business, don't intend to be in the distressed asset business. And if you look at the graph on the right-hand side, you might have noticed our non-performing assets blipped up in 2011. Just wanted to show you the effect of Adriatica there in the light blue line. And the dark blue line being really the performance that Tory spoke about earlier, which is that our total non-performing assets at the end of the year were down to 1% if you exclude the $9 million we're holding on Adriatica. those trends continue to improve, as Tori said, and so I'd be happy to answer any further questions about Adriatica in a few minutes. I'd like to wrap up on slide 23, our formal presentation today. Similar bullet points that we started with, let me maybe wrap this up in a different way by telling you what I think makes Independent Bank Group unique and why it might be worthy of your consideration as an investment to become our partner. We're a rapidly growing Texas franchise in two of the three fastest growing counties in the state of Texas. Our relative size gives us a lot of opportunity to grow, both to increase our market share in the two major metropolitan markets we're already in, and then to grow into the other metropolitan areas in the Texas Triangle. We grow both organically and through acquisitions. We believe that makes us unique. We do so in a way that enhances our shareholder value. So growth for growth's sake is never been our strategy. It's been growth that creates shareholder value. Michelle talked about both our ability to insulate a little bit against margin pressure, which is probably the number one talked about concern in our industry today, and also the fact that we've got strong investment infrastructure the last few years that's going to allow us to grow in a way that drives our efficiency ratio down. You'll see we were into the 60s at the end of last year. We expect to go into the lower 60s this year and eventually the next couple years into the 50s on our efficiency ratio. I think it's rare to find all of these characteristics in one entity, in one institution. We think these things allow us to continue to grow our company, provide superior returns to our peers, knowing that our interests are aligned with our new partners going forward. With that, we'll conclude our formal comments and be happy to answer any questions.